The first item on our agenda tonight is proposed ordinance 22-39. I'd entertain a motion to bring that to the table for discussion.
Second.
A motion and a second. Judge Weaver, would you like to discuss your ordinance with us?
And I brought copies for everybody. I wasn't sure if everybody had a copy.
Yeah, that'd be great. We're actually looking for.
Perfect. So the letter explains the graphs as well. So each of the graphs that are provided. So I know on Appendix A was the preference for. No, I'll see it. It's okay. It's okay. So the first thing I did is I provided a Faulkner County Circuit Court salary survey. I used this based on what Judge Braswell had provided when he was here back, I believe, in May. The Appendix A graph, this is kind of what this is based on. When I looked at the Class 6 counties, it was kind of comparing apples to oranges because the way that the districts are set up for the judges, like I'm a three-county district, so it's hard for me to say, hey, here's what this county is equal to this county, so I really couldn't do that. So I based it on the way Judge Braswell did it as far as what are the other judicial divisions doing in this county? What do they have for staff in their divisions? And so that's what this is based on. So that gives you an idea of where everyone is now. And now I based these numbers on what was approved for their staff at this point. So these numbers are a little bit different than what y'all received from him because that's what was passed in May for what their folks make now. My understanding is Judge Braswell is actually a law clerk, but the 3rd Division and 5th Division are just staff. I believe they're assistants to the actual administrator. I also provided what would be a job description for the law clerk, which is what I'm asking for. It's a very detailed description. I base this basically on what I really would want in that position. And I looked at different law clerks throughout the state and other judges, based that description on that. It would be a 2L law student, which means they're a second-year law student, so that way they've got experience in legal research and writing. As some of you may or may not know, UALR has a program which is at night, so it allows students to be able to work full-time during the day, so that's why I did the 2L requirement, so they would have the skills needed, so they could work full-time. And then the letter that I attached really explains the charts. And so here what we did, these charts basically explain the cases that I have in my division. So the first chart you'll see, chart 1, this basically shows the growing trend of case filings in the division, which is first division, which is what I cover, and where I expect to be at the end of this year. If you have any questions, you can see how every year has been growing with the exception of 2020. So I went back to 2019 because obviously 2020 is a year that we can't really use as an accurate representation because of COVID and the case numbers declined during that year. 2021 is just a little bit skewed because of the same reason. COVID kind of may have delayed things and we're not exactly sure what it did or didn't do. So we make sure we go through 2019, 2021, and then so far we're on 2022. They did a projection on 2022 based on what the numbers have been filed so far this year. So it kind of gives you an idea of where we're going to be. The second page is Pulaski County. And what they did with Pulaski County is they pulled 2 divisions. Because every division throughout the state for district or for circuit judges, we have different caseloads. These 2 divisions were most similar to the division that I have. So the caseload that I do, which is basically a mixture of civil and domestic. They took the 2 divisions most similar to mine with what they did with juvenile probate, domestic relations, and civil. If you will see, I actually outnumber even Pulaski County, so my case numbers are actually even higher than the Pulaski County Circuit Courts at this point. Page 3 is Sebastian County, which is a Class 6, because I did ask them, is there a way we can at least try to show some sort of Class 6 counties in some sort of way to show the need, what I'm needing? And this shows the same decision for Sebastian County. Again, this is just that county. Sebastian County is a multi-division county district, but I made sure that the numbers I'm presenting to you all today is specific just to Faulkner County and Faulkner County only. And again, First Division Faulkner County is clearly exceeding the totals again of Sebastian County, even though Faulkner County has a lower number. So once again, First Division, which is what I'm assigned to, has numbers that are exceeding another county that's a Class 6 county. And then on the fourth page is Saline County, which is another Class 6 county. There's no actual division that looks similar to First Division, which is what I am. So they did all of the divisions in Saline County just to show you what their numbers are. And basically just that their trends for what their projections are basically on point for what the trends are for Faulkner County as well. And that's just kind of to show that there's a consistent pattern of what the numbers are going up. So that was kind of a way for us to show you, like, hey, I can't really compare exactly all the Class 6 counties to Faulkner County because of the way that the districts are set up. So we did the best that we could to say, hey, here's my division compared to other divisions that handle the same caseload as I do. Here's the pay scale of what the other staff with the other divisions within this circuit get paid, and then here's what the other court in the Class 6 counties have as well. So I kind of gave you a little bit of everything so you have a big picture of everything. I am asking for 42.9. Somebody asked me where I came up with that number. I said, I guess I like car salesmen. I don't really understand. I based it on the fact that we're going to be looking at a 2L law student or a licensed attorney, and this would be a full-time position. The law clerks in Pulaski County started out around 62,000. Again, my caseload is even higher than Pulaski County. We aren't Pulaski County, so I don't want to base it on their salary, so I've pulled it down some. We've got other positions that are staff that are not licensed attorneys already making 50,000, making their assistants to the administrators, making more than the administrators. So I picked a number that I felt was a fair number to what is the requirement for the position, yet still lower than the surrounding counties because we're not as big as them, and just assuming that we don't have the financial position that those other counties may be in. So that's kind of what I based it on. Any questions? You also can see, it also shows that on the salary survey. There's also a chart down there as well. One thing I will say, on Fourth Division, he does have a part-time budget. I don't think he really uses much of it. I did talk to him a while back. There's something called Rule 41 notice, which those are things that are bore y'all to death. And I told Judge Clark if I do get this position that I would help him do those cases. And so basically what that would be is this law clerk would go in and clear out old cases. So where you look at these case numbers, for us to have accurate data, for Faulkner County really to know how many cases do we have, your data's got to be accurate. That data is not accurate if you're not closing out cases, which that means if I'm not going back and I'm saying, hey, I've got this case on my docket, it might show that I've got 5,000 cases. Well, that's not an accurate number if 3,000 of those cases are 3 years old but have never had any type of activity going on and nobody's going through and closing them out. So we've actually been actively working on that. I've had some part-timers this summer going through, some teachers are just kind of, it's all we've been doing is trying to chip away, cleaning up that docket and things that I came on to from all these old cases that I inherited. So we have accurate numbers to give all of you. And I talked to Judge Clark and said I'd be happy to help his division with that as well. And so maybe this time next year I can come to y'all with more accurate numbers with everybody in our division. The other thing is I did talk to Van Buren County. I can't make any promises to you, but I can't make any promises to you of what will be received, but what I can promise you is I have talked to them and some of the former board members about possibly getting some money from them as well to try to put toward funding for employment and maybe reimburse in Faulkner County and some things, and their members were very interested. At first they were a little bit hesitant, but when I took them the law and explained to them that the statute says that they are required to pay for a part of circuit court, they changed their minds and realized that they really are supposed to be helping. So that is another option I'm hoping to look at, and that may be something I can use to maybe help that difference in the pay of what some of the law clerks are being paid across the state, but also just to help fund this position and other staff positions as well. So I also plan to do that up in Thurston County as well, but I'm trying to do one thing at a time. So right now, I'm trying to get the full-time position, and then next I'll be trying to help get Van Buren County on board and then Thurston County as well. Because my theory is, we're a three-county district, and I do not think it's fair for Faulkner County to be the one that's having to pay the bill, because that's what y'all have been doing for years. I don't think it's fair for Faulkner County to pay the bill for everything that we do, because you're not the only county that we serve.
Thank you very much. Thorough explanation. Appreciate it. Fields us for made for questions. Any questions from the committee?
I'd just like to say, Judge Weaver, thank you for the charts. I know that with Division One and being a blend of multiple counties, it's difficult to have a representation across Class 6 counties because there are blends of different counties as well. So I think this kind of puts my mind at ease at this and looking at the average of what the other judges in Faulkner County are paying for this position as well. I'm fine with this. So.
Any other questions?
I do know there was a full-time position in First Division Circuit Court when Judge Carnahan was appointed to the position. I think he handed it over because he was here for 2 years. I'm not sure what that was. When I came and asked for the position back, I think the money situation was kind of tight then, and I was denied that position, which I'm understanding because there was, you know, things changing with the money situation, so I'm coming back and asking for it. So there was a position here years ago, so...
Yeah, that's what I see here on your appendix A, right? So, 16244, is that what
that's what y'all, that's what we compromised on when I asked for the full-time position back. You gave me a part-time position, so I'm asking you to change that part-time position to the full-back.
Okay, full-time. So you still have the headcount, you still have the budget, it's just not filled, is that right?
I have someone there as a part-time position, but I'm asking that part-time position to become this full-time position.
Gotcha. Okay.
You will not have the part-time position any longer, is what we're saying, Judge?
Correct, unless I can get something from the northern counties. But no, that part-time position will turn into this full-time position. Yes.
I have a few questions. You mentioned the data and the quality of the data and the importance of the quality the data, and I just was curious where you pulled the data from for all these numbers.
Okay, so Arkansas Administrative Office of the Courts, they have a program called Context. Dan, you may have to go up. And Tableau, that's another program. And so they keep up, so everything that we do is electronic. Everything that we do, if we open hearing, we have to put held. If we cancel hearing, we have to put canceled. Everything that is open or closed, all cases are in that system. So this summer, do you have any idea how many cases we went through? We went through all the counties trying to clean up all the old faces. And this is Tammy Weaver, no relation. And I'm going to get that. She's my child court administrator. For those of you that don't know her, if you'll talk to her, she's my child court administrator. She's been with me now for a year. And so she is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. So it's a system that's down in Little Rock, and they keep up with all the data throughout the state. And she's actually been going through, I've been trying to kill her this summer. There's a CMP class and some class that teaches you all the technology, and most times it takes 3 summers for all the TCAs to do it. I begged, pleaded, threw a fit, stomped, cried, and they let her do it all in 1 summer, and she hates me for it right now because she's been there for most of the summer. So she's down there trying to learn the case trends, learn the data entry, learn the importance of all of this, and so she's been huge in making sure that we're cleaning up these dockets. And so what I want to make sure, my goal is, if we can get the help, because like, we just physically can't do it all, get all of this cleaned up so we have accurate numbers. Because to me, if we don't have accurate numbers, I'm not bringing any accurate data. So this, to me, for my cases, I know for sure, are as accurate as I can get them because we've done so much work this summer trying to get them all up to date.
Thank you. I guess my question for the county attorney is, when we do salary adjustments, we do the comps across comparable counties, but for new positions, are we required to do the same thing for the ordinance?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't believe we're required to for new positions, but I'll have to go.
I didn't think so either, because that is the one thing that I didn't see here was comps across the salary ranges for the positions. I understand they might be different positions at different pay scales. There wasn't any of that data. Normally, when we do salary adjustments, those are included. So I just wanted to check to see if we needed that information available. If, I don't think we do. I can double check between now and full court. And then my last question is, you know, about the other counties that this will serve, and you mentioned the potential ability to go to those counties and encourage funding from them.
Correct.
Is there any way to do that prior to us guaranteeing the full funding for the amount? I feel like you, and so my follow-up to that is, what is the urgency of this position, and if you had a little time to negotiate with them and knew that we were at least committed in part, would you be able to leverage that further with those counties?
Because I'm drowning in work. I'm absolutely drowning in work. We've got other staff in other cases, in other divisions, and I'm not trying to just anybody else, that are also doing work in other counties and have been for years. My division, this division, had a clerk in it before I came on. That clerk was given up by someone who was not an elected official. I asked for that position back, was not given that position. My case numbers are exceeding Pulaski County case numbers. I'm drowning.
Okay.
Absolutely drowning.
So there's a sense of urgency for you in filling the position, I take it?
I'm literally drowning. Like,
okay.
Did you have something you wanted to add?
I just checked the ordinance. It says, when requesting a salary change, so I don't think it would apply to
that. Makes sense. That's what I figured.
Okay. Right.
I'm in favor of the position personally. I would love it if we could use the potential favorability of the court's willingness to fund this position as leverage to get those counties to chip in without funding the full amount. But for the time being, I have no further questions. And I'm in support of the ordinance. Any other questions or comments from the committee? With that, I'd entertain a motion to send this to Budget and Finance at the committee's pleasure.
So moved. Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. We'll talk about this in about, hopefully, 30 minutes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. Next item on the agenda, Justice Lahowski, elected official salary adjustments. I don't know if we have a proposed ordinance for this number or for this or not, but I would entertain a motion to bring it to the floor.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second. Justice Lahowski, are you, there you are, right front and center. Would you care to address the committee?
I've addressed the committee before on this. You've heard my pitch and my spill. Basically, it's time for us to look at our salary for elected officials. You should have an ordinance. Did you said maybe there wasn't an ordinance. Did you have an ordinance?
I didn't have the number, but they've given him the number.
Okay, awesome. What's there is what I first recommended to the committee, that 85% is kind of just the first shot. I've got spreadsheets. If you don't have a paper copy, I've got a paper copy up here. I can give you a kind of the 2022 elected official salary survey finally got published by the AAC, so I incorporated those new numbers into the spreadsheet. And so the ordinance, I've got the ordinance there for you.
Thank you, Justice Lahowski.
Yes, sir.
Any questions from the committee? Hearing none, I'll have one. I have heard from a few elected officials that would like to see this postponed to after the election, for honest reasons, from what I can gather. And I would be in favor of tabling that if you would.
I'm at the will of the committee, so I'm
okay. How does the committee feel about tabling this issue until after November?
I move that we table proposed ordinance 22-27.
Second.
All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Motion is tabled till we'll put it back on the agenda for
next year.
December, one of the two, whichever you prefer. Okay, I'll get it on that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Lahowski. Next item on the agenda is proposed ordinance 22-34. I entertain a motion for discussion.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. Justice Higgins, would you like to address the committee?
Thank you, Justice Pearson, for allowing me on the agenda this evening. And I'll start off with, have I got a deal for y'all? So I'll start this off with Ordinance 2234 for two new positions for school resource officers pursuant to the proposed Memorandum of Understanding between Greenbrier School District and the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office. So I assume that each one of you have a copy of the ordinance and the MOU. I won't go through the entire MOU. It is pretty detailed. It covers the responsibilities of the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office and the responsibilities of Greenbrier School District. But if you'll turn to Appendix A, there are some information there that there is some information there that I would like to cover. Appendix A, and so Appendix A and Appendix B are exactly the same. Only Appendix A is asking for a SRO, school resource officer, for Greenbrier Wooster Elementary. And Appendix B, again, the language is the same. The only thing that changes is the school, which is for Spring Hill Elementary School. So it's the same thing. But the appendix really covers the meat of the ordinance and what they're asking for. So in paragraph 1, Section A, Faulkner County will furnish one law enforcement officer. Again, this is for one school. Each one of these will be for a different school. One law enforcement officer employed by the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office to serve as a school resource officer for Greenbrier School District at Greenbrier Wooster Elementary under the policies, procedures, and duties and responsibilities of the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office. So this is a Sheriff's Department employee. I've mentioned here already a couple times, and I had it in my notes, but we're talking about Greenbrier School District. Greenbrier Police Department serves the other schools because those schools fall within the city limits of Greenbrier. Wooster Elementary and Spring Hill do not fall within the city limits, and therefore they don't fall in their jurisdiction. So that's why the Sheriff's Department is being asked to provide these services. Paragraph B, Faulkner County Clerk will provide a monthly billing to the Greenbrier School District for the monthly salary and benefits incurred by Faulkner County for funding this. So these two positions will be fully funded, both salary and benefits, by the Greenbrier School District. Paragraph C, Greenbrier School District will provide all funding, which includes total cost of salary and benefits for these positions, including any future costs of living, cost of living, benefit cost increase, or other salary increases implemented by the Faulkner County Quorum Court. So we don't have to go back to this MOU. Should at budget time we decide to give raises to all deputies or something, it's all covered in here that would be covered should the quorum court so decide. Section D, Greenbrier School District will reimburse Faulkner County on a monthly basis for the salary and benefits for the entire calendar year. So even for the 3 months the school is not in session, the school district will still pay for these positions. Section E, Greenbrier School District will utilize the SRO for 9 months of the school term. Faulkner County will utilize the SRO during the 3 months of the calendar time when school is not in session. Oftentimes, I know the school resource officers at Greenbrier, that's when they do a lot of their training, is during the summer months anyway. Section F, for 9 months utilization of the SRO by Greenbrier School District and 3 months utilization of the SRO by Faulkner County, Faulkner County agrees to furnish the SRO with a county patrol vehicle, with maintenance and operation costs of the vehicle, liability and auto insurance, training, uniforms, firearms, safety equipment, and other related equipment for SRO position or a deputy in general. So the county will provide the necessary tools that a sheriff's deputy will need to perform their duties. Greenbrier School District will pay for salary and benefits. So that's kind of an overview, and I'll certainly entertain questions if anybody has anything more in-depth.
Thank you very much, Justice Higgins. Any questions from the committee?
I got a question, if I could.
Yes, please.
This is probably for Chief, actually, but I see in Section F talking about furnishing a patrol vehicle, the maintenance operation costs. Is the Sheriff's Office prepared to do that, or are you going to come with additional funding requests to provide the equipment needed?
So, Justice Kendrick, if I can, I actually asked that question.
Okay.
So, and
you
I have
to it.
I did. I knew you were going to ask. Actually, I expected Justice Pickett to ask. So, this is a list of all of the equipment that would be needed to equip two new deputies. And so there is some additional cost. It adds up to about $1,799.07 to be exact. So $1,800 per deputy for a total of almost $3,600 additional cost that the Sheriff's Department can absolve in their budget.
Okay.
So they have the vehicles, they have the equipment. As I look here, I think there's a couple of ballistic vests they'll have to get. There's some holsters. There's some equipment. Some of it they already have on hand. So the additional cost is $3,598.
Okay. Very good.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I guess the only other question I have, and this might not be determined yet, but in the budget, how are we going to name these? Are these just going to be another patrol deputy, or will they be listed as SRO? Because the only reason I ask, say, if we don't renew this in the future, for whatever reason, you know, that way we can track those and make sure they're accountable. That way we're just not adding personnel without having a proper discussion on it.
My answer to that would be up to the personnel committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will be able to track it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie.
That's all I've got. Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions from the committee? Hearing none. There is a sizable audience of new faces. Is there anybody here that would like to speak on this particular issue? I hadn't heard from anybody. Just Salisbury?
Okay. I've been serving on the Arkansas School Safety Commission, and I can tell you that there's going to be a recommendation come out, a pretty emphatic demand that schools have armed personnel on every campus, and so I think it's a great move.
Thank you,
Justice
Salisbury. Yes.
Justin Hickin, I'm sure that these guys already are, but these officers that are serving now and it belong you to, trained in hostage in these type shooter positions are or will be trained in that?
Yes, sir.
I know it looks like there were some terrible mistakes made in Texas.
We've actually, over the summer, long training Commander Rapper. We've been putting our officers, like the other day we trained at Mino High School. Another day this week we'll be training at Mount Vernon High School. And the rep did a presentation with all the teachers at the high school today, just for the teachers. So there are some mandatory training requirements for SRO by statute that they have to complete along with all the additional training so that in Butler County we don't have a development type situation.
Isn't it a shame that we have to do this?
Yes, sir.
But that's a reality.
Any other questions from the committee or general public?
Justice Kendrick, if I may, yes. In regards to your question earlier, I think what we can do if this ordinance is passed on is I can work with the county clerk's office, and all of our employees have a line item number essentially in the county budget, so we can put in the ordinance exactly which salary, the fund, and then the employee number on that to make sure that it can be tracked in the future if you want.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Did that require a change to the ordinance?
It will, but it's not something we should do right now. Honestly, without Margaret here, I hate speaking on behalf of the clerks on that specific number, and so we'll get to that.
Okay.
It's actually already listed.
There it is.
Any further discussion, to entertain a motion to advance this ordinance onto budget and finance.
So moved.
All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much, Justice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Excellent work. There's no further business before the committee. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
No move.
We're adjourned.
As other duties aside.
Aren't you so lucky, Philip?
Come on, Al. Did you already take half the day off?
We've had cookies two meetings in a row, y'all. This is
You're going to start coming more often, huh? I am now.
Entertain a motion for Ordinance 2237 and Resolution 2207, since they go hand in hand.
Motion.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, sir. That carries. So that'll go to the full court. And the final one is, therefore, for Liberty. Is anybody here for Liberty that would like to speak? Yes, ma'am. Just tell me what your name is and what your position is with the fire department.
I'm Lindsay Taylor, and I'm just one of the firefighters / first responders.
Okay, thank you for coming. All right, so obviously the same situation that you have. So let me go through this. Section 3, the dues levied by the Liberty Fire Department shall be collected annually in the respective amounts of $100 per residences, $150 per unit in multiple residences, $200 for hazardous business, and $20 to $50 for open lots and land. However, this amount may be amended as permitted by policies, rules, and regulations set by the Liberty Volunteer Fire Department and all applicable local and state laws and regulations. So again, this is so that the people in this community can vote on this. We're not making those determinations. This is so that they can vote. Anything additional that you'd like to add? Okay. All right, thank you. I'm just curious. How many firefighters do you have at Liberty?
Right now we have 13.
Okay, 13. Very good. All right, any questions from the committee?
Just curiosity question once again. Hazardous businesses. So can you just give us a description and who determines that's a hazardous business?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
Sure.
I've talked to Liberty's fire chief about it. I think it's gas stations.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? All right, so I would entertain a motion for Ordinance 2238 and for proposed Resolution 2208.
Motion.
Second.
And a second. All right, any further comment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, that carries, and we'll go to the full court. So all three of those for the fire department carry, and we appreciate that. All right, I'm going to move on to the next part of the agenda, but I'm going to deviate just a bit. So we have no more business before court to public debate. That will require a vote. Yeah, the rest of this meeting will be informational. So what I would like to do, we have several other justices that are in the audience. If you guys would like to, for the convenience of conversation, to come up here so that you can join in the conversation and you can actually see those that will be presenting and all that, you're invited to come up here if you would like to. We're not going to vote anymore, so if you want to come up here and sit. I'm going to talk about the animal shelter update for just a moment. That's informational, and then we'll move on to ARP. Who am I missing? Right there, Justice Strain, you're welcome. So I'm not, Counselor, I'm not forming a quorum or anything. It's just so that they can see better.
Even if you were getting the quorum.
All right, so I have before us to pass out a copy, so I'm going to transition over to Animal Shelter for just a moment, a copy of the needs assessment study, and I had requested enough copies for the JPs.
They are
okay,
up front.
Does everybody have a copy? Some of y'all, like Justice Allison, pilfer. I think
they're right there.
So
Pearson, there.
And there's some other things. Yes. So
they're behind you as well on that little podium, too.
Yeah, and pass it. You guys all have a copy? Y'all put those cookies down.
swindle.
So I have. So we'll talk about the update from the needs assessment. Before I do that, I have some members of the community animal shelter development committee that are here. If you guys would just raise your hand back there, I see Donna Clausen, there's George Cossey, Mary Coates, and Vicki Crutchfield. I knew you moved on me. And so I want to thank you folks for coming tonight and being here. So just to kind of back up, we started on the endeavor that Judge Baker formed the committee in September. So it's not been quite a year. It's been about 11 months that I've been working on this. And I can tell you it's part of it is frustrating because we wanted to have ready to break ground like now. And we're not there. There's a lot of information involved. And the reason I wanted to share the needs assessment with you guys, and I'm going to give you copies of it. I'm not going through all of it, but I'm going to just highlight some points. We requested the needs assessment from the Shelter Planners of America to help us with what do we need. What, you know, we talked about, do we know what we don't know? How many animals are we talking about? How big of a shelter? How many employees? How much is the operating cost? All of these things that we have talked about since I have been on the board for 12 years. How do we get there that we can answer those questions? And part of it is it's determining the need. It's almost like how big of a jail do you build when you talk about jail expansion? You need to figure out what your need is. So the needs assessment is that, and we provided, the committee and I provided a lot of information as requested to the shelter planners, a lot of demographics data, population growth. We reached out to Metro Plan, we reached out to the Chamber of Commerce. All of those organizations were very helpful in us helping with that data. And so if you look on page 3, I'm going to highlight, it should be understood that this study is the first step in planning a new shelter. The second step will be to develop a conceptual site plan and a building floor plan based on approved building contained in the study. So that would be the second stage. The third and final step would be actually development of working drawings and specifications. So we finished the first step, which is the study, and we're working on the second step, which is developing the conceptual site plan and the building floor plan. That's the part that we're working on now. There's a lot of information. Again, I'd like you guys to read in your time, consideration of time. I'm not going to go through all of this, but I'll jump over to... on page 10, we talked about dog housing capacity. We spent a lot of time discussing how many animals do you want to have capacity for? And one answer is you can't build it big enough. If you build it for 10 animals, it will fill up. If you build it for 20 animals, it will fill up. If you build it for 500 animals, I think it would fill up. But can you imagine how many employees we would need for 500 animals? We can't afford that. So it's a struggle between what we can afford, which is a big part of it, and what we can handle, and what we can actually move through. So as you look at this section on this, it's talking about it proposing housing for 40 dogs. And then on the next page, it talks about proposing houses for 40 cats. And then they're supporting data for that. I'll go into this later, but as we looked at that, we think that as a startup, this is opinion, that may even be too large for us as a startup. But we have to have a target of where we would need to be and how fast we can move. But talk about how long you keep animals. And you certainly don't want to keep animals indefinitely. You want to move through there by adoption and by transporting animals to other states that actually need those animals. So this talks about that and where it came up with the amount of animals that it recommends. The next page, page 12, it talks about building space program. In this particular needs assessment, talks about the building space is detailed, listing each room or space proposed to accommodate the shelter for the next 20 years. So this is not about just right now. It's also talking about growth in Faulkner County for our future. Site considerations on page 13, paragraph A at the very last sentence. Again, I'm just quoting this part. It says, the proposed new site appears to be in a visible area and a well-traveled area. So it's kind of concurring that where the property that we've currently bought seems to be in a good spot. Section B, which is accessibility, talks about the proposed new site. It's relatively central to the service area and therefore a good choice. The site has good access on and off of Highway 65. So again, its location being centrally located in the county is also recommended to be a good spot. Let's see, we'll jump over to page 16. Just kind of a summary of all of these pages that talks about this. The site selected by Faulkner County appears to be a good location for the proposed new animal shelter. So I've had a lot of people ask me that very question. Is that a good spot? I mean, just right there where it is. And based on the needs assessment, the assessment concurs that that is a good location for the shelter. Next section, it talks about a lot of recommended features. Again, there's all kinds about various housing and how you house animals and justification for them, ventilation, material for the housing. You want material that will not decay under constant water use. I mean, you know, stainless steel fixtures, because everything's going to be hosed down daily to be cleaned up, so you don't want a lot of wood that's exposed. So it talks about that. It talks about the various options for kennels that are available. On page 27, it talks a little bit about staffing. You know, we talked about how many employees do we need. So based on the recommendation that they're going with, they're looking at 5 full-time employees and 6 part-time employees. And that's hypothetical if we were to go all the way with the recommendation that this assessment is recommending. So then, you know, we talk about the cost and operating cost. There's a start, because I went with Margaret and asked Margaret, you know, how much does an employee cost? And she did the math, and it would be easy enough for her to figure out how much new employees cost, just like we did tonight for Judge Weaver and for the Sheriff's Office, for the SRO officers. On the next page, page 28, opinion of probable cost. Now, I want to mention something here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about cost tonight. I will say this. When this first came out to the committee, we all received sticker shock. And because this is based on the needs assessment and what we need, we looked at this, and we have since met. We have met them several times, and my comment was, you got to sharpen your pencil a little bit, because we're not prepared for this. And they are working with the architect and the consultant are working with us to downsize on different projects and everything. But when it looks at this, it talks about occasionally we find a small community that rallies behind the project, and in-kind services are donated that reduce the cost. But we recommend that Faulkner County plan for the worst case and then hope and work for the best. So as I think, fair, I'm a conservative. Financially, when we look at this, we need to look at worst case, plan for that, and then you plan to escalate that down. And I built a couple of houses. You know, I didn't tell my wife the low end of the budget. I told the high end of the budget. We're coming off of this. And it's similar to things that we want to do with this, because we know, and we'll know roughly how much funding that we're going to have available. So we need to plan for worst case and then work it down from there. All right. So the next few pages, it talks about various options. And it shows pictures of the existing building. And there's option for remodeling the existing building and what we can do. There's option B that's adding on to it. There's option C that's utilizing the existing building but building additional dog kennel space next to the building. It talks about the challenges of the building. There are some very good things about that building, and then there are some challenges with the building that we have. We believe that we can work around all of the challenges. It's just trying to determine the direction that we want to go with that. Talks about Exhibit A. I'll get into Exhibits A and B. Again, it looks at number of employees, talks about square footage for these things. And as you get into some of the cost analysis that it does based on the recommendations that it has, option A, B, and C, towards the back of it, there will be different square footage costs depending on parts of the structure. So, for example, remodeling the existing building has a lower square foot remodeling as opposed to a proposed dog kennel, which would be new construction, which would have a different cost. There's costs with concrete and plumbing. I mean, where you don't have concrete and plumbing that you have to rework. In the cat areas, there's not nearly as much plumbing work that has to be done. In the dog areas, there is significant plumbing, whether you do new construction or remodel the existing concrete slab, there's some jackhammering and digging up and those kinds of things, and it gives those options for us to consider when we're looking at those. Also, it looks like it gives examples of other facilities that have recently built. I'm looking at, and I don't see a page number here, but here's Arlington, Texas animal shelter that they built, and it shows some pictures of that one and what they did. The Brown County Humane Society in Nashville, Indiana, it gives some information about that one. There's a Fort Bend County Animal Shelter in Rosenberg. And so all of these shelters that they gave us examples of range from pretty high end all the way down to just a metal building and stuff inside. So that there's a very good range with that. Shelby County Animal Shelter in Sydney, Ohio. Here's one in Christiansburg. So the committee and I, we have gone through this in detail. So it's pretty exhaustive, this. So I just wanted to share this with each one of you individually. Take this with you, study it. Look at it. We'll be talking about it more. But at this point where the committee is, we received this. We've studied it. We have gone back and had a couple of Zoom calls with consultant and with the architect, and have basically said, you know, we need to back off on some of this. Where can we trim them? Where can we be more cost effective? You know, what do we have to have and what is nice to have? And so it is the desire of the committee to come back when we get additional information and share that information with the court. But more than anything else, we want to give you guys an update on this. So that was a little long-winded, but I'll entertain. If you have any questions or anything for me or comments, I'll entertain those. Or the committee, if you have it.
Yes, sir. May I?
Yes.
One question I had is, how many grants have we applied for? You know, part of the discussions with buying the building was there's tons of grants out there. All we got to have is an address and we'll get them. How many have we applied for and how many have we received?
So to my knowledge, well, let me back up. It's who is we? So the county has not.
Okay.
The county has not. The various organizations like Friends has. Uh-huh. I don't serve on the Friends board, so I don't know. There has been a great deal of discussion about fundraising, how we fundraise above and beyond tax dollars. You know, how can we? We've met with a fundraiser who's come in and talked with us about how to raise funds, how to have events, other venues to raise money. And this would be people who raise money for other things like, I don't know if they mentioned, like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and those kinds of nonprofit organizations.
Okay.
So they have talked to us about that. There are some grants that we have looked at, and I think the whole, once we get an address, we can get money coming in, maybe premature. Some of the grants that we have looked at is, what are your needs? Well, our needs are, we need a building. But it's more specific than that is, you have a building and you need cat crates. Well, we'd like to have some cat crates right now, but that's way premature for us.
Okay. So the county hasn't, Ms. Donna, has your organization applied for any grants and received
any? We have. We've applied for 3 grants, and they're just hadn't come into fruition yet.
Okay.
But we got them in on time, and we've answered all the questions and crossed all the T's, but we haven't heard anything. We have had $30,000 donated to the cat room for soundproofing the cat room by a lady that was in the cats. And we've also had $35,000 donated to the building project, and to be used not just for cats but for us, but we've had 2 like that. And you know how Randy, you all know people say, well, when you build it, we're gonna do this, do that. But as far as grants, I've not given up on those. I mean, we're just learning how to do it. It's a skill to get a grant, and we do have someone that's helping us with grants. But we just hadn't found out about those. And the ASPCA, they will give, what I'm hoping we can get from them is a truck. And that's what I've been talking to the Tim, his name's letting me, but anyway, he is in charge of that, and he's looking into that. 2 years ago, they gave away 3 trucks, so they kind of took a break this past year, so I'm hoping that we can do that. So it's out there.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Mary?
One of the things when you were speaking about the grant,
things that I went through and looked back into was, you know, what's available out there. I mean, we honestly don't know. We don't have a central person that can reach out to some of these grants. So I reached out to a friend of mine that is recently employed as an administrator for a nonprofit. And since March, these are the grants that she's applied for and has received. And it's not exactly the same as an animal shelter, but it's very similar. $5,000 Alliance grant, Blue and You grant for $1,000. Freehaw Foundation, $55,000. ESSER III, $74,900. ARPA was received, $344,000. TANF, $56,000. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and this was since March. So if we have an actual address and have the right people in place, the money is out there. We just have to have the right avenues to go out and get it.
Thank you, Mary.
Mr. Chair, quick question.
Yes.
And a follow-up comment. Stay tuned for the folks who are coming up after this one. You might find some good minds on grant writing and be able to pick their brain. I have one question about in this needs assessment. Fantastically done. Thank you very much for the committee's efforts in obtaining this. I think this will go a tremendous way in helping us solve this issue. It mentioned the ceiling height as a possible
issue,
and I was just curious if there was any more information as to why they recommend a 12-foot ceiling, and if the 8-foot's a deal breaker, if the renovation costs take any of that into account, that kind of part.
Yes. Yes. Yes, an 8-foot ceiling is an issue. And so we are working through that. It's an issue when it comes to handling with dogs. Typically, their preferred 12-foot ceiling, this has to do with ventilation, moving the dog hair, the parvo, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
They can work with a 10-foot ceiling, but getting a 10-foot ceiling in this won't work. One of the options that we're looking at now is actually for the dog part of the building to be a new steel-constructed metal building with overhangs that has a dog inside and outside dog kennels. But the existing building is not a problem for the office space, for the veterinary areas, for storage areas, for office areas, for the animal cleaning. So the building as it is usable. It's just going to be a challenge to use it for kenneling the dogs. It works just fine for the cats. So we're looking to utilize the existing building as much as possible for everything except dogs. So that is one of the options that we have on the table that we have sent back to the architect and the consultant.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Justice Lehowski.
It may be premature. Who's going to be on this committee when you're not with us next year on the quorum court? I guess we'd have to take a vote on that and see which one of us is going to take the vote on that one.
I have no input for you at this point.
I know it.
It has been a privilege to serve.
Absolutely. You've done a lot of work.
I appreciate it. All right, if there are no other questions, we'll end this part of the business. Hopefully everybody has a copy. You can take it with you. There should be a few extra copies if anybody needs one. Not mine. That's the highlighting section. Okay, we're going to transition over to the American Rescue Plan request for the nonprofit. So I'm just going to go by the way that they're listed here. So is there anyone here from the United Way that would like to speak to that? Yes, ma'am. So come to the microphone and identify yourself, and we'll turn the floor over to you. And we should, JPs, each one of you should have, and I have mine here, a copy of all of the applications. Did you take my application, Dean? One moment. Here we are. I got them. Yes, there should, I think. Yes, but they just Pearson.
Anybody else?
Anybody else that needs one? Should have all of their applications. Yeah, it's a pretty thick package. So you can skim through the ordinances that we have, and the one on top is the United Way. Thank you for allowing us to organize.
Sure, no problem. Hi, I'm Jennifer Boya. I'm the director of the United Way of Central Arkansas. And so I am here to talk about our needs as an organization and ask for your support in allowing us some funding from the American Rescue Plan Act. started at the United Way, as I like to say, 6 weeks BC. That's 6 weeks before COVID. So the world completely changed. The United Way, as we know it, completely changed. And it's been a rough road. It's been a rough 2.5 years. And we are not only suffering as an organization, but we fund nonprofit partners. So the several of the organizations here in this room tonight are nonprofit partners. They're funded by United Way funds. And then going even further, our citizens are supported by the United Way and by our nonprofit partners, and they have suffered over the last couple of years due to COVID. And we are looking for support to, one, stabilize our organization. We have been down in revenue from the inability to go out and do the workplace campaigns that we have traditionally done. Due to COVID, nobody wanted to meet in person. Groups couldn't gather. We couldn't make presentations like we normally do. We did some virtual, not a lot. A lot of organizations chose to roll over. You've also got a lot of employees who are retiring, who are changing jobs, and that caused the United Way to suffer, which in turn meant that we had less money to allocate for grants. This year we had, so I noticed that you guys got around 20-something million.
24 million.
24 million, and you got 48 million in requests, I believe, is what I read in the newspaper. So we feel your pain because we also got over $400,000 in grant requests this year for the United Way, and we were able to allocate out $175,000. So we understand those challenges in having a lot of really good needs, a lot of strong requests, but also having limited funds. And so what we would like to do is we would like to have some funds to stabilize the United Way. We have dipped into our reserves to keep our commitments to our nonprofit partners. We would also like to award some additional funds this year because we had to cut back so much. And then going forward, we would love to have some funds to transform the United Way and get us into a position where we can move forward with a more stable outlook for not only for us but our nonprofit partners. If you don't know what these organizations do, I mean, they are feeding senior citizens. They are making sure kids get to after-school activities. They are building homeless shelters and doing amazing things with children. And so there's a lot of people out there with a lot of needs right now. There always have been, but I think it's been incredible the last couple of years. And we would just really appreciate the support so that way we can address the needs, because we're out there on the front lines, all of these organizations doing the work, helping people who are hurting, making sure that they can of, and we would just appreciate your support.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from any JPs?
I have one question. So you guys service four counties, right?
Faulkner, yes, ma'am.
Conway, Perry, and Van Buren?
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any requests with those counties?
I reached out to all of the counties. One, and I can't remember which one it was, said they had already allocated all their money, and the other two didn't return my call.
Okay, thank you.
At least you made it this far with us.
That's right. And I would say that what we would do is certainly keep those funds with organizations supporting Faulkner County. So as we were framing out, if we were to receive funds, those funds would go to nonprofits serving Faulkner County.
Okay. Very good. Any additional questions?
I have a question. I'm not familiar. It says you had a decline of approximately $100,000 in workplace campaign contributions, and then there's something further down here about rebuilding our workplace campaigns.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the main way that we raise money. So Faulkner County, for instance, we come into the county and talk to the employees about getting a small amount of their paycheck. And that's what I love about United Way, is that we get to raise money in such a collective way. Everybody gets to play a role, and you don't have to give very much, but it adds up to an incredible impact. I love that about United Way. And so we go into the workplaces. Our biggest workplaces are your blue-collar factories, Furco, Leather Brothers. Leather Brothers small manufacturing plant with dog leashes and things like that. And so we go in there, we ask employees to get a small amount out of the paycheck, and that's what we use to grant out to our nonprofit partners. We, on top of COVID, we also lost Kimberly Clark at the same time. So it was kind of a double whammy for our organization. And we are in the process of rebuilding. That takes time. And it's been a heck of a time.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I know the company that I retired from had campaigns with United Way on a national level, because we were a nationwide company.
Right.
We would have events, and would usually have somebody from the office that would lead the effort, and they would have all kinds of cooking events and other things that people would donate, and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What it generated.
We've got our turkey trot coming up Thanksgiving Day.
That's a big event.
It is. It was a record last year, and it rained. It was awful.
I was there.
And so many people
didn't run though. I just cheered everybody on.
Thanks.
Ms. Boyett, thank you very much for coming and for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
All right, next on the agenda is Salvation Army. Is anyone here from Salvation Army like to speak? Okay, so all of the JPs have a copy of the request from the Salvation Army, so just take a look at that and give that due consideration as well.
Just curious, were they invited? Did they know?
I think everybody was invited.
They were invited.
Yes. All right, next on the list is the Community Action Program for Central Arkansas. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name's Melissa Allen. I'm the Community Programs Director for CAFCA, and I apologize for the absence of our Executive Director. She's under quarantine right now.
Oh, bless her heart.
So as Jennifer was talking about, we are one of the funded agencies. They fund a portion of our emergency shelter program, and currently what that does is provide hotel stays for the homeless that you see in the area. She is correct. COVID has been devastating on our community. CAFCA generally serves over 20,000 individuals per year with all of the programs that we offer. I know that we didn't ask for funding for all of those different programs. Primarily, it was the emergency shelter that she was talking about. As you all know, there is not currently an emergency shelter in Conway. And so it'll be the first one. The city of Conway is building it, and we will operate it. That's the lion's share of the funds that you see. The more that we research into emergency shelters, it's extremely expensive to do everything that we have to do. We've had to reevaluate our priorities and where we could focus our funds on. Over COVID, we lost so much donations and just donations of items. We are going to close our food pantry because of that. There are a lot of food pantries in our community, and we will continue to support them. It's just the funding, where we're at now, we're having to refocus that. And with the emergency shelter, one of the funding sources that we receive funds from is a required 100% match. And then with our Head Start program, that's another one, it is a required 20% match. And so the funds that we use, that if you would allow us to have, would go for that match and would help us be able to get more. We use United Way as a portion of that match, and she's correct. We've noticed, even in our own agency, because the funded agencies, we all participate in the workplace campaigns, and I've noticed that I'm the lead for our campaigns, and it's went down tremendously since COVID hit. And it's not because people are not wanting to give, it's because they've been hit in their own homes. And so that's what's causing the decrease in the support. So anything that you can do for our community and for our agency, there's not one nonprofit here that we don't work with that wouldn't be wonderful to give your money to.
All right. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, next on the list is the Children's Advocacy Alliance. Is someone here to speak for them? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Tess Fletcher. I'm the Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. And,
like everybody else, COVID has been increasingly hard on us, and it hasn't, we've seen a steady, sustained increase in kids coming to our class. From 2019 to 2020, we've only served 252 kids, I believe. Starting July of 2020, our Child Advocacy Center started seeing an increase in kids coming through during COVID and almost doubled the amount of kids that we were having interviews done around family advocacy or sexual assault exams or mental health services. Almost 100% increase in 1 year. Last year, it served 483 kids. And of those, almost 300 of those were Faulkner County kids. Our CLASA program served 161 kids last year, 113 of those were Faulkner County kids. So what we are looking for, the space that we're in is 1,632 square feet. It's county-owned property. We have had a donor that has come forward and pledged $100,000 because we want to move toward the building and capital campaign. He's pledged $100,000. We would like, with this funding, to help us recoup some lost funding and grants. We saw a 35% reduction in one of our grants over the past couple fiscal years. And this funding would go toward a match. And this donor has said that if we raise $200,000, he will match us another $100,000. With that funding, we would like to purchase the property that we're in now that is county-owned. And we have talked to Judge Baker about that. So part of the funding will also purchase additional property next to us to expand our reach and be able to have a little bit larger footprint to build a building that would adequately serve kids out of Faulkner County, as well as hold all of our team. We're in two separate locations, paying rent at two locations, utility at two locations. So that funding would help tremendously for that.
Okay. Any questions from the JPs? Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right. Dr. Fletcher, would you like to come talk to us about the City of Hope?
Yes, I would, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies, gentlemen, how are y'all doing today?
Doing good.
Good, good. My name is Dr. Philip Fletcher. I'm the founder and executive director for the City of Hope Outreach, and we are applying for funding for three specific goals. One is regarding our Hope Village project, which is a small homes solution to homelessness here in Faulkner County, specifically the city of Conway. And what this will be is 5 one-bedroom and 5 two-bedroom homes that specifically will seek to serve individuals and families that are homeless, veterans that are homeless, and we'll also have an on-site case manager. This has been a 5-year project that started back in 2017. Took a slowdown because we had a community that we had to move, Brookside Trailer Park, in 2019, and then COVID hit in 2020, which slowed down the process and fundraising, but also now increased construction costs. And so because of that, we have requested funds to help assist Adcock Foundation, NAPLETS Foundation, Greg Lasker, and others, Second Baptist, to build a solution to homelessness here in our county. We have an emergency shelter coming in Conway. We have transitional housing in Bethlehem House, our Hope Home, the Rise, but something that's also needed is supportive housing as well, and that's what Hope Village will provide in terms of giving education, in terms of training and employability. That's also in terms of focusing on health, because that is a significant thing regarding individuals who are experiencing homelessness, not only their physical health, but their mental health as well. The second thing that we're seeking requests for funding for is in regards to rental assistance. Now, that was a big thing during COVID. Many individuals fell behind on their rent. Their rent increased. Why? A lot of families that we serve are hourly. So when you're told to close or limit hours, you're hourly, you're not salary. You can't cash in PTO, vacation, sick time, and things like that. Your rent still comes due. And so we partnered with Arkansas Department of Human Services. We received ESG funding for 2 years to help families in terms of their rent. Our portion of that ended in June, but we'd like to continue that for another 24 weeks. but also provide one additional requirement that we wasn't able to do, and that's to offer also financial counseling to those individuals who are coming looking for rental assistance. And so we have an MOU partnership with First Community Bank, who will be providing that monthly financial training for those families who are coming in looking for assistance in terms of their rent, but also helping in terms of budgeting. The third and final thing is in regards to our small market. Coming out of COVID, when the schools closed, we started helping the Conway School District in terms of delivering food boxes to the kids. Out of that, individuals were still needing help in terms of their food. Nap Hope's Construction donated to us a trailer. They outfitted it. We got grant funding from Arkansas Community Foundation, also with the National United Way, to provide food, hygiene supplies, and such, and able to our market. And that market has continued to go on. And in fact, now that market, individuals come, they can get food, they can get hygiene supplies, they get produce from our garden. We have urban gardens, but also it's an opportunity for the individuals who are being served also to serve. And so each individual gets $500 in market bucks, kind of like Monopoly money, where they get to spend. And once they run out, they have the opportunity to then volunteer in the market, learn job skills, and then earn additional market bucks so that they can get a job skill, have that put on their resume. That's what we're asking for. That's what COVID has impacted. People in terms of their housing, people in terms of their rent, people in terms of food and employment. And so my challenge to everyone here is to remember that. Because in the application, it talked about how do these goals, these requests that you're looking for, how does it tie directly to the American Rescue Plan that was produced by the White House? And when you go to whitehouse.gov, you download their PDF thing, 99.9% of that deals directly with people. Not roads. Not water. People. Men, women, children who have been directly impacted by COVID. So I guess I'm the closer, and all this is on the last nonprofit. All these nonprofits here, we represent people. People who lost their jobs, people whose children struggle in their education, whose grades decrease, who try to find ways to pay their rent, who try to fight off eviction. They're still fighting off eviction. This money, according to the White House, in their plan, is to help people. And so that is my challenge to everyone here as you're considering that and all these great nonprofits here, that you remember we represent people who more than likely don't have the time to come up here and advocate for themselves. And so that's why we are here. And I hope that you remember that in your vote today and next week. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fletcher.
Any questions?
Yeah. Any questions from the JPs? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I want to thank each of the representatives who came tonight representing your organization. We appreciate y'all coming out and talking to us. So as I mentioned, we don't really have any proposals for tonight. As my understanding is that next month, Judge Baker will probably be wanting to, in the forum court meeting, discuss everything that we have learned so far regarding ARP, and we'll be discussing it in more detail. But I know a month before last, during the June meeting in Courts of Public Safety, we talked with the government entities about, 911 and some of the other issues. Tonight was nonprofits. We talked about those. And really the purpose of all of this was to look at this in its totality, what the impact and being able to prioritize for us the entire perspective of what we're being asked. So I think we've got a great deal of information to consider and what we learned from tonight. Hopefully we've studied in the amount of time that we've been dealing with what the ARP is for and what we can spend it on and those types of topics that we can consider and for when we come back and meet as a group again and discuss it in more detail. So, any other questions or comments regarding what we discussed tonight?
I just have a comment if I can. I just want to say thank you for all y'all that came and spoke to us and informed us of what you requested. Thanks for taking the time to
fill this out and to show us some of the needs in the community. And I know I appreciate it, and I thank all the Quorum Court members do.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Justin Pearson?
One quick question and a comment. The question was just to clarify next steps. Will you reiterate again exactly how you see this unfolding?
So as I see it unfolding, and this is based on conversations that I've had, is probably, and I'm not the county judge, I'm not speaking for him, but my understanding is probably next month in the Quorum Court, we will plan to discuss this in its totality in more detail. I don't know that this is part of my conversation with Judge Baker, and maybe part of his staff could help me with that. We've discussed a lot of information, and now it's time for us to start making some decisions.
Yeah, I think Judge Baker's comments to me were he was hoping that in the full court meeting in September that we begin, or that this body begin discussing kind of the totality, big picture ideas for what this body is wanting to spend, in addition to Judge Baker and his opinion on what amount needs to be spent. But obviously that probably won't all occur in one meeting. At that point, someone will need to have an ordinance in appropriating ARP money, both for nonprofits, governmental entities, animal shelter, jail, all the issues that we've been discussing for the last 6 months now. But as of right now, there's not an ordinance drafted yet. I would hope that after that September meeting, we'd have a little better picture on what a consensus would be in this group. And so my guess is probably in October, possibly having a ordinance at that point that is discussed in committee, taken to full court.
Thank you very much, Councilor Murphy. I appreciate that, and I'll hold your office to it. I would like to see this expedited and moved along. I agree with Dr. Fletcher from the beginning that this is the most appropriate use of these funds, very near the top of the most appropriate use of these funds that I can consider, given the letter and the spirit of the law that was passed to allow them. And your voice will not be lost in the court. I will carry on that same message as this continues. So thank you.
All right, any other questions or comments? All right, from the Courts and Public Safety Committee, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.